you don't know me, my name's Tabitha Phillips. I've been at Old Paths for about 8 years, and I'm the church pianist, so I'm blessed to be able to do that. I've been saved for many years. I grew up in a church that had the King James Bible, but it was very legalistic and not quite what I was looking for. I knew something wasn't quite right. But a few months ago, I was reading through my Bible, and I found this verse that just stuck out to me. It was just so, so awesome. I couldn't get it out of my head. I was meditating on it every day, all day. And I tell you what, the joy that it brought me just to understand it was just amazing. I'd like to share it with you. We're going to go to Isaiah 38. And in this chapter, it's the story of King Hezekiah. And he's found in 2 Kings 20. He's found in 2 Chronicles 32. And his story is here. And it's talking about how he got sick. And he was sick unto death. And God tells him, you know, set your house in order because you're going to die. And he was not happy about this. He got very bitter in his soul. And he cried out to God. And he's like, God, I've done all this for you, and I don't want to die. And God ends up granting him 15 more years of his life. So as you're reading through this chapter, he comes into, if we start in verse 9, it says, the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness, I said in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I'm depraved of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness from day even to night, wilt thou make an end of me. I reckon till morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night, wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me live. And this is the key verse. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Oh, what a verse. You know, behold, for peace I had great bitterness. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. You know, have you ever thought about it? Have you ever thought about what the Lord did for you the day you got saved? Have you thought about the fact that before God found me, I was condemned? John 3:18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It also says over in John 3:36 that I was under God's wrath. It says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So that wrath was on me. It says over in Proverbs 4:19 that I was in the dark. It says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. You ever been there in the dark?
Amen.
I had no peace. And if we go over to Romans chapter 3 and we read verses 10 through 18, it is so fitting for this. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursings and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. You know, and this is talking about the Jews and the Gentiles both. I mean, any unsaved man, his way is a way of bitterness. His way of peace is not known. So not only was I condemned, I was under God's wrath, I was in the dark, I had no peace, and I was as good as dead. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And Romans 6:23 said, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I was dead already. Just like God told Hezekiah, you're going to die. Prepare your life. Prepare yourself. I was already dead. I was without hope. And if I go over to Ephesians chapter 2 and read verses 11 through 12, Paul's talking to the church of Ephesus there, and he says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." And the last thing I think about is the fact that I was completely powerless. Spiritually, I was powerless. And it says over here in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." You know, my state was pretty sad. I was like Hezekiah. I had a sickness. I had a sin. I was dying. But thank God Christ came and he brought that salvation. Oh, what he did, like Isaiah 38:17 says, that for peace I had great bitterness. And I remember in my life, I was raised in a Christian church. Like I said, they were legalistic. I had the King James Bible, but I still was missing a lot of answers to life. And I had a lot of bad choices that I made, and I lived in a lot of bitterness. Ever been there? You make a bad choice. You don't have the principles. You don't have the truth. And you start having these terrible, bitter consequences that you have to deal with of your actions. And you don't have hope, and you don't know what to do. But, you know, praise the Lord, not only was I saved when I was young and God saved me, he brought me to this church. He brought me to the truth, and he saved me again. And so the first part of that verse says, "In love to my soul." And we all know John 3:16 that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And then Romans 5:8 that says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Even when I was in that sin, and on that dark, dark path and way, he died for me. And then 1 John 4:10, I love it, where it says, oh, here we go. "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, and he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." That's true love right there. Even when I was a sinner and I was dead, Christ came and died for me. So not only did he show love to my soul, he delivered it from that pit of corruption. And over here in John 5:24, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word," this is Jesus speaking, "and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And then in Romans 5:20, it said, "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so my grace reigned through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." So he delivered us from that pit of corruption. And then my favorite part of all says, "For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." Think about that. Think about that great God who loved us so much to send his son, even when we were dirty, rotten sinners. But he came and he took that sin, and when we ask for forgiveness, he will cast it behind your back. And you never have to remember them no more. And he doesn't remember them anymore. Over in Psalms 103, verses 10 through 12, it says, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." You know, and that east from the west, that's the breadth of God. He threw his sins behind his whole breadth. He doesn't look at them anymore. And why do we keep that guilt on our lives? Why do we blame ourselves when we've asked for forgiveness? And then I want to end with Psalms 40, verses 1 through 3. And it says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord." So I encourage you, you know, take this verse like I did and think about it. Meditate on it. the fact that for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. And that's what I got for you.
Amen.